Sedra starts by Davar Elikim al Moshe by Yomer Elov Ani Hashem by Erel Avram al Yitzchak al Yaakov Michal Shakai Ushmi Hashem lo Nedati Lohem. And then the Pasuk goes on to say Lachain Amor Levnei Yisrael Tel Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem Vaitzesi Eschem Itach Sivlois Mitzrayim, I will take you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. I will save you from their work. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And you will know that I am Hashem Hamoitzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, that takes you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. Now we know that these four Lashonis, Vahitzesi, Vahitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, these are the four Lashonis Shel Geula. Now what do they represent? Obviously it's not four Lashonis for the same thing. There were different stages of Geula. So various Mepharshim say various Pshatim and what the four Lashonis represent. The Rechaim HaKodesh says, Vahitzesi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, that was the Avodas Perech, the backbreaking labor. That was the Sivlois Mitzrayim, the hard burden of Mitzrayim. But even after they were taken out, Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, they still had work to do. So that was the second stage. Vahitzalti Eschem Avodosim, I will save you from any Avodah. You'll be putter from doing any Avodah. But they were still in the land of Mitzrayim. So for that you have the third stage of Geula, the Ga'alti Eschem, Bizrayim to you, Bishvatim Gidayim. That involved leaving Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And the final stage was the Lokachti Eschem Lila'om. That was Matan Torah. Those are the four stages of Geula. As the Netziv points out on the Haggadah, that Yitzias Mitzrayim, it went in stages. It didn't just happen overnight. There was a Gulas HaNefesh, there was a Gulas HaGuf. It wasn't just a physical Gula, it was a spiritual Gula. And the reason why they were Kaveya, the four Kaisis, the four Lashonis of Gula, is because the same way the more a person drinks, he drinks one Kais, he's a little bit happy. He drinks a second Kais, he's different. And finally, after the third and fourth Kais, he's transformed into a different person. And that represents the different Lashonis of Geula, a slow but sure metamorphosis. They change from one stage to the next until finally at the end they were totally different than before. But on this pasuk, V'lokachti eschem lila'om, V'hayisi lachem le'elokim, I will take you from me as a nation, which we touched just now, is Matan Torah. V'hayisi lachem le'elokim, V'yedatem, and then you will know, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem Hamoitzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. I am Hashem that took you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. So the Mepharshim ask a question over here. Hamoitzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim was the first stage of Geula. Vahitzesi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim, that was the very first stage of the Geula. So why does it mention over here after the fourth stage of Geula, after Matan Torah, V'yedatem Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem Hamoitzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim? They already realized that in the very beginning. So why is that first stage mentioned again over here? After Matan Torah, you will realize that I am Hashem that took you out from under the Sivlois Mitzrayim. So Becheskel Abramsky says a very nice pshat over here. Becheskel Abramsky says that without the Torah, it is impossible to really understand the depth of something. Kolzman, they were just at the stage of the Hoytzeisi. Kolzman, they just had finished the breaking Avodah, they were still Avodah. And they were still in Mitzrayim. And they were still within the clutches of Mitzrayim. And they still did not have that wider perspective of what life is all about and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really expected with the Geula. It was only after Matan Torah If they said Ma'aseh v'Nishma, they reached the Madrega of Malachim, and they received the Torah, then their minds were broadened, and they saw the entire world in a totally different perspective. Then they realized what it really means by Tzeis Mitachas Tzeis Mitzrayim. The true Akar they didn't have in the beginning. With the perspective of Torah, you see everything in a totally different light. So Zokta HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that now you'll first really understand what the Tchilas Geula was all about. Until now you didn't have a real Havana in it. But when it comes to the stage of Lakakti Eskam Lila Am, you'll be Zoich to Matan Torah. So then you'll have a different perspective on everything, and you'll know already even the beginning. You didn't have a perspective, the right understanding until now. You'll first get that understanding right now with Matan Torah. Shalom Shvadron, Zatzal, in the Sefer Lev Shalom, says a beautiful Deher over here. We know that the halacha is that between the first kais and the second kais, in the Seder, you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to have to take a drink, you're allowed to drink wine, you're allowed to drink anything. But between the third kais and the fourth kais, you're not allowed to take a drink. What is the reason for that? So Rashi, in Pesachim, brings down the Yerushalmi, between the first and second kais, yes, you haven't yet eaten, so the wine does not tend to be mashaker a person. You don't get shikr. But the third kais, you drink after the suda. And yain that comes after the suda is mashaker. So the melody, you're going to drink between the third and the fourth kais, we're afraid. The more you drink, you'll get shikr. You won't be able to say hallel with a clear head. You'll get shikr. Memela, between the third and the fourth kais, you're not allowed to drink. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So Yerushalmi says there's a meridik remez over here. The remez is between the first and second kais, you're talking about vahitseisi, you're talking about vahitzalti, but we were still in Mitzrayim. We were still in a foreign land. If you drink over there, there is no shash that you're going to get drunk with the geula and get carried away with it and think that you've already reached your goal. Because you're still in a foreign land, and no one will really think that the geula has come. But after the third kais, after the v'ga'alti, after we were already out of Mitzrayim, so then we're free, we don't have to work, we're out of the clutches of the Mitzrayim, then there's a mockim to think that a person will get drunk with his chayrus, and will be happy, he'll become ecstatic, and he'll totally forget what the real tachlis is. So there you're not allowed to drink. There you have to wait till the velokachti. Velokachti and velokachti cannot be separated from one another. Without the velokachti, there is no real geula. Unfortunately, over the years, there were people that were in free lands and they thought were free. By the 1700s, by Napoleon, when Napoleon wanted to break down the barriers between the Yidden and the Goyim, when he broke down the ghetto walls, so people thought that we're free. You know, we're emancipated. But the emes was that was the biggest shiva that caused the greatest hefset to Klal Yisrael. How many neshamas it took away? A person has to realize that if he's free to do as he pleases, that is not geula. Emes dikke geula only comes when we're free to be makabel the Torah. We're free to be makayim the Torah. So that's the remez over here. Don't get shikr after the geulati. Don't become carried away with your geula as if the final geula has come. You cannot lose your focus. You cannot lose your real goal. The real goal is the velokachti. And until we're taka free to completely keep the Torah, and there are no foreign ruches that are staring us, that are being meineya us from really accomplishing what we want to, then we haven't really tasted geula yet. Vayidaber Moshe Keno b'nei Yisrael. Now Moshe Rabbeinu spoke thus to the b'nei Yisrael. They did not listen to Moshe because of shortness of breath and because of the hard work. So the Rishonim asked the question over here, why all of a sudden didn't they listen to Moshe? Before, in Parsha Shemais, it says, Vayamein ha'om, and the nation, they trusted, Vayishmu, they believed in Moshe, Vayishmu, they heard, Ki poket Hashem as B'nai Yisrael, that Hashem has remembered the B'nai Yisrael. V'chi roh es onyam, that he saw their poverty. So they believed in Moshe, and they believed that the Geula had come. So what happened over here? Why over here all of a sudden didn't they believe? So the Rashbam explains, now they didn't listen to Moshe. even though they believed lechitchila, because they expected that the minute Moshe comes, oh, the avodah is going to become bottle. And what happened? Instead of the avodah becoming bottle, it became harder. So they totally gave up hope. Lechitchila they believed. Lechitchila they had hope, but they expected the avodah would get less right away. And what happened? What happened? Pari made the avodah stronger. So now they lost their emunah. That's a lesson that we have to take, that Agamak of Baruch Hu promised us that the Gula will come. And the Chofetz Chaim said in his time already that all the Simonim of Ikris and the Meshicha have already been recorded in his time. How about PK? If we see things get harder, can't give up hope. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his Cheshbonos. We have that Haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if things get hard, we can't lose hope. The Ramban says, a little bit differently than the Rishbam. The Ramban says that things got so hard that they didn't want to live even one second. They couldn't take the tsar anymore. The Kaitzer Ruach was the Pachad, because Pari became more treacherous. They were afraid he's going to kill them. And the Avodah Kasha was the extra pressure that the Noitzim placed upon them, so they couldn't survive another moment. So it's finished, we can't handle it anymore. Leishamu Amayisha. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Emes Liakos is a very nice pshat. It says in the Medrash in Shemois, what did the Bnei Yisrael do on Shabbos? They rested on Shabbos. What did the Bnei Yisrael do on Shabbos? They had certain Megillahs that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that told them about the Geula. It told them about Emuna, Tzadik Viraloi. Sometimes the Tzadik has it bad. Rosha Vitoivloi, the Rosha has it good. Don't give up hope. Continue to have Emuna and Hashem. These Megillahs were Sefer Iyayv. Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that wrote Sefer Iyayv. There were certain Mizmairi Tehillim that have brought down a Sefer Tehillim that were from before David HaMelech. Mizmairi Tehillim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. In Yonim about the Geula. And this is what they read every single Shabbos, and this gave them koyach. It gave them that strength to continue with their emunah. But now that Paroi strengthened his hand, he took away their Shabbos, and they weren't able to learn on Shabbos, the Mela, they didn't have that chizuk that the Shabbos gives them. Until now, they have the Tehillim, they have the Iyayim, they have these Megillahs that spoke about emunah, that gave them the chizuk on Shabbos. But now that Shabbos was taken away from them, they no longer had these inyonim to give them the chizuk. One of the makas mentioned in the parasha is Tzfardeya. Tzfardeya. So, it says in the pasuk, V'shoras ha'yor tzfardim, the yor will teem with frogs, V'olu will bow b'veischa, u'v'chadar mishkovcha, they will come up and enter your house and the place where you sleep, b'amitoscha, on your bed, u'v'veis avadecha, u'v'amcha, v'tanurecha, in your ovens, u'v'misharisecha, and in your dough. So there's a Gemara in Masechtas Pesach and Daphne Gimel Amid Beis. Dorash Tudus Ishraimi. Tudus Ishraimi, a man of Rome, Darsh. What did Hanani Mishol Vazariah, the times of Nebuchadnezzar, they were told to bow down to this massive idol representing Nebuchadnezzar. What did they see that they were Moshe Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, and they were willing to jump into the iron, to the Kivshon Ha'esh, the fiery furnace? Why were they Moshe Nefesh? Nosu Kal V'Chaymer Ba'atzman Mitzvardim. They made a Kal V'Chaymer from the frogs. Madr Tzvardim, that don't have a Chiv of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. They don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And still it says in the Pasuk, V'olu u'bo b'veischo, v'tanu rechot misharisecho. Matter, it says it by them. So Kal V'chaymer by us, that we have a mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Kal V'chaymer, we have to be Moshe Nefesh, and we have to be willing to go into the Kivshon Ha'esh. So before anything, Taisus says Sakasha over there in the Gemara, Pesachim Daphim Gimel Amid Beis. Taisus says Sakasha, what is the question? Why did Hanani Mishol Vazariah see fit to give themselves up al Kiddush Hashem? That's the halacha. One of the three cardinal aveiros that a person will believe to be Moshe Nefesh is a din of Yehara Val Yava, Avodah Zara, Gil Yarayas, and Shlichus Dam. There's a chiyuv for a person to give up his life for Avodah Zara. And this was the Farhesia. It was in front of everybody. So of course they will believe to give up their lives. What's the shayla of the Gemara? So Tosfos asks this question over there, and Tosfos gives two terutzim. Number one, there's b'chol shaila if this was an avodah zara or not. Because an avodah zara represents a foreign god. That's what avodah zara is. But this wasn't really a god. This could have been interpreted as being an andarki shel melech. It was just something signifying the covet of the malchus. It wasn't really an avodah zara. The meila, it could be there wasn't really such an inyan of being meisin evesh al kiddush Hashem. However, they said of the frogs, if they did what they did, kabachaymer, we should do what we should do. Then another terrorist that Tyson brings down is that they really could have run away before him. Because they were there, there was a mitzvah kiddush shem shemayim. But they really had the opportunity to run away beforehand, where they would not be brought into the situation that they have to bow down to the idol. And then they wouldn't have had the nesayim. But instead of running away, they made a kal v'chomer from these frauds, and they stayed. And memela, they were moisa nefesh, they went into the kivshan age. This is Tosfos' two terutzim in Masechtas Pesachim.
Why do we live in Scotland that we're moisa nefesh? That was their instruction.
So the Shagas Arya asks the question, what kind of a kal v'chomer is that? The frogs had it, see, we also, right? The Pasuk says, b'feirish, v'olu u'bo v'beisro, u'v'tanu recha, m'sharei secha, they were instructed to do so, right? This wasn't something that they did on their own. So what kind of a kal v'chomer is mad if it's five and they don't have a tzivui, kal v'chomer we have a tzivui. So they practice Shagas Arya Akash. So the Vilna Gaon, Shagas Arya asked this question, and the Vilna Gaon was 7 years old, and he said it to Eretz. Vilna Gaon said that Enoch Inami, it says in the Pasuk, Ba'olu, Bo, Tistaka Tzibri, Enoch Inami. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they're going to go to different places. Right, the lashon of the pasuk is they're going to go to different places. No one frog was told you have to jump into the furnace, into the oven where the bread is being baked. They could have gone to the bedrooms. So one frog could have said to the other, "I'll go into the bed, or I'll go under the bed, or I'll go into the bedroom, and you go into the oven." The hekatei said, "I have to be the one that goes into the furnace." But that's not what the frogs did. The frogs went. Hagam, there were frogs that they weren't mitzvah v'davka to go there, but they went anyway. Right? So that's the kal v'chomer that they were nice about. It's a matter of the frogs. They weren't mitzvah the favors to go into the oven. They weren't mitzvah to go around and try it. The Afal Pekin, there were frogs that went. Kal v'chomer, that we have a specific tzivui to be mekadosh shem shamayim. Kal v'chomer, we talk have to be moisa nefesh. So the Shagas Arya, when he heard this, he picked up the Vilna Gaon, the 7-year-old boy. He gave him a kiss. He said that Osid, the Vilna Gaon will be Osid Liyas Godel be Israel. This is the territory of the Vilna Gaon. So Satan Posik Vatal Hatzvardeya. The Tzvardeya came up from the water. Now Postim Shad Hatzvardeya means, like Rashi says in a different place, when you speak about many Tzvardim or many animals, you say it's Meloshin Yachid. You don't say the rooster's crow, you say the rooster crows. That's the simple shot of the pasuk. But Rashi brings down a chazal over here that says it was taka one tzvardeya. Tzvardeya achas hoisa. It was one tzvardeya. People saw this massive tzvardeya and they started hitting it. And the more they hit it, it split into two, then it split into four. And the more they were beating it, the more they're hitting it, it split into many, many more tzvardeya. So the Stipler, the Sefer Birchus Perek, asks a question. If the Mitzrayim saw that the more they hit it, it's multiplying more and more and more and more and more. Sasvarnish, stop! With every hit that you give it, it's multiplying. So stop, Meshugana, what are you doing? So the Stipler says that this is what the Midah of Kas is all about. When a person falls into an anger, when he falls into a frenzy, all logic falls by the wayside. The mind and the heart should tell you one thing, but kas leads you in a totally different direction. Logically, it makes no sense what they were doing. You're bringing more and more tzaras upon yourself. What are you doing? Afal pi kein, the kas, they were so carried away, banging it and banging it and banging it. They totally let logic fall by the wayside, and they got themselves into more and more trouble. Zok the Stifler, that this is the derech, what happens to a person when he falls into kas. You know, one person says something to another and it makes him feel bad. So he has to answer in kind. He has to solve him tzvik. And the other fellow tells him something sharper than before. And this guy can't hold himself back. And he goes weiter. And it gets heated and heated and heated into a bigger machlokes until chas v'shalom it could lead to physical blows. Now, if you use your sechel l'chatchila and you would swallow the little bit of bizyonis l'chatchila, right, and not let yourself get carried away, you would save yourself so much heartache and so many future problems, it would stop right there. Oh, but the fellow gets angry and he loses himself. And even though logic says stop right here, he can't control himself because he fell into a frenzy. I heard recently the Rav in my shul, Roseli Berkowitz, said over from Rav Yankiv, Zatzal. He said that a mevater, someone that's mevater to somebody else, he gives in. He's not just a guter, he's not just a good person. He's a kluger, he's a smart person. You give in and finish, and you swallow your pride. It's not just a goodness on your part. It's a smart thing on your part. Because the more feeling and emotion you invest in this, and the more agmas nefesh you have, is just going to lead to more and more trouble. So mevater is not just a guter. A mevater is a kluger. He's a smart person. And this is what happened over here. They lost themselves. Because I'll say, kol hakoyes, someone that gets angry, kol mine gehenim sholten bay. All sorts of gehenim rule over him. Question is, why should he get all sorts of gehenim? Havas, good. Anger is not a good thing, 100%. But akidekach, that he gets all minim of gehenim? So I saw one of the svarim that says, it's not the pshat he gets gehenim as a punishment for the kas. But when a fellow falls into kas, he is liable to do an aveira to get all sorts of gehenim. He could do the worst aveiras possible when he's in his anger because he's not with his regular das. He's totally out of control. And when a person's totally out of control, he is liable to do anything. So it's possible for him to inherit kol mine gehenim. That's what kol mine gehenim sholten bay. Shaul Shvadron used to say over a maisa about a fellow by the name of Zalman de Kaisen. Zalman de Kaisen, that was the name that he was given. Used to get angry, and Mama, she used to make these mashunadike faces. There were little kids in the neighborhood, and he was an old man, and he used to get nervous at everything. The little kids, they made a little bit of noise, he would stick his head out of the window, and Mama, make these mashunadike faces. And the kids would laugh, it happens all a good time. Gitzer, when he was already at the end of his life, the Chevra Kadisha was called to his home to administer the last rites. So the kids were very curious to see what's Tutzach and Zalman the Geisen. So they were peeking through the window. And he sees the kids outside. So with his last kliches, he picked himself up out of his bed and he looks at them with the mashunadike faces. And that's the way he was nifta. He was nifta with that same anger, the same face that he used to put on keseder to these kids. Instead of the last moments you spend thinking about Vidu, you're thinking about Shema Yisrael, but he was meshuga to his kas, and the last moments were spent in anger, putting on that meshuga face. Also given Zalman de Kaisen, I think Rosh Shalom said that he says over the mice it should be a schus for him. You know that people should learn how not to be. That would be a schus for his neshama. And lahepach, he said over a mice with another yid. One of the Kedoshi Yerushalayim lived in Yerushalayim in the early 1900s. His name was Reb Chaim Todras Hirschler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He's one of the Yidden that sat and learned the whole day. And only Ve'evian, he knew only Torah and Avodah. So one fine Shabbos afternoon, after the meal, when all the Yerushalmi parents went to sleep after a hard week's work, and the Yerushalmi kids are left behind to do as they please, and they're in the shuls running around on top of benches, on top of chairs, to Ezra Snoshim up and down and making a racket. So one of the shuls, Rosh Sholem, is speaking and learning to this Chaim Todras Hirschler, who's an elder already with a long white beard. The kids are making a racket in the Ezra Snoshim, the Chayach. So in the middle of speaking and learning, Rav Chaim Todras tells Rav Shalom, Ichbetaych, I ask you, can you maybe go up and ask them to stop, you know, stop the noise? Rav Shalom knew better than to start up with a bunch of 12-year-old Yerushalmi kids. So he ignored it. He continued speaking and learning. A few minutes later, again he asks Rav Shalom, again he ignored it. Finally he asked him a third time. So Shalom says, Tfapos Gaitianish, why would you go? You know, why should I be the carbon? So he tells him with an edelkeit, he says, because I am the Teva a Kaisen. I'm a Kaisen, and I'm afraid that I'm going to get angry. So Shalom couldn't believe it. He says, Edelly Yid, Mamish, and Edelly Yid, a Tzadik, a Gutskeit, a Menuchidiki Yid. He's a Kaisen. He thought he was Tom pulling his leg. He came home and told over the conversation to his brother-in-law, Lurishlim, Zalman Ayurvach. He told him the Maisa, he's a Kaisen. So Shalom said, Yeah. I grew up with him. He says he used to be a Kaisen, but he worked on himself. And he worked hard on himself. And his stomach is still afraid that he has a tiny little nekuda in him of Kas. He doesn't want to expose himself to that. That's the way the Gedolim work. You know, they're afraid of that meat. Or any meat that they have. I once heard a neighbor of mine told me his grandfather learned by the Chofetz Chaim. Rav Leizer Levine, chief rabbi of Detroit, learned by the Chofetz Chaim. So he used to tell over his Einikluch that people think that the Chofetz Chaim was a born malach. Like there was no effort made into acquiring his tzidkus. He says, Sahib Tzich Nishtan. He says, the Chofetz Chaim, first of all, if the members of the family were talking to the Chofetz Chaim and the Chofetz Chaim lowered his voice, they knew that he was upset about something. When he got upset about something, he would lower his voice. Kidei tibi may ne'akas. Sometimes he'd be in the middle of a conversation with someone, and if he felt himself getting angry, he said, "Excuse me for a moment." He walked to the other side of the room, and he would start talking to himself. He says, "Yisrael Meir, du bist akoyen," and kohanim have a tendency of getting angry, and you have to be in control of yourself, and you have to watch yourself. And after he gave himself this musator, he went back and he continued the conversation. That was the Chofetz Chaim. So halachas kama v'kama, how much a regular person that gets upset, he has to be nizer. You know, kas kol hakoyis kol mina gehenim shalotim bay. I saw a very nice pshat from the Chassam Sofer. Out of all the 10 makas, only 2 makas does it say befeirish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the land of Goshen from the land of Mitzrayim. And in the land of Goshen there was no makas. By the Orev it says, the Hifla Bayayma, the place Bayayma who is Eretz Goshen, Asher Ami Oymed Olel. I'm going to separate the land of Goshen. There's not going to be any Orev in the land of Goshen. Levilti Ayosham Orev. So it says it by the Orev, and by the Borod it says, Rak the Eretz Goshen, Asher Shom B'nei Yisrael, Loi Hoya Borod. Only 2 of the Makas, but all the rest of the Makas, it doesn't say that. By all the rest of the Makas, it's Mashma, that the Makas took place in the land of Goshen. Didn't affect the Yidden, it affected the Goyim in Eretz Goshen. But why does the Torah specifically say, by Orev and by Borod, that it wasn't in the land of Goshen, and all the other Makas were in the land of Goshen? So Chassam Sofer is a very nice Torah. All the other Makas, if they were in the land of Goshen, and it affected the Goyim, but it had no effect on the Yidden, let's say Dam. Right? So the Mitzrayim had Dam, but the Yidden didn't. Tzvardeya, the same thing. Kinim, Orev had the wildest animals. He had lions and wild bears. Chazal say you had these big snakes that were as thick as the beam in a pressing house. These things are scary. See, even if Lamaisha, they don't come and bite you, they don't come and hurt you. But the fact that they're in the vicinity, that's a terribly pachadik thing. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not going to be in the land of Goshen Bechlal. So that the Yidden are not going to be affected in the slightest by it. Same thing with Borod. Chazal tell us these big, massive stones with Kailas and Brokum are falling down. It's a pachadik thing. So Einochanami, even if it wouldn't have affected the Yid, but the Pachad would have affected them. So by Borod as well, it Bechlal did not appear in the land of Goshen. Why? Because the Yid were the Akkadish Baruch Hu, Bechlal did not want to scare them. The rest of the Makas were not affected in Israel. But these two, even if it wouldn't manage hurt them, of a Pachad they would be. That's what Akkadish Baruch Hu wanted to be Meneya for the Bnei Israel. I wouldn't Shabbos, everybody.
What about Chayshah?
They didn't see the Chayshah.
Number one question. Chol B'nai Yisrael